BBC Six Music podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Hello, this is Adam.
Hello, it's Joe.
Hey, I'm glad that we're carrying on with our...
We might think of some new ones, actually, this week. Do a new one.
Just do
a different one.
Okay, then.
Now, do it now.
Adam.
That's good. I can't beat that. Okay, how about this? We're overexcited this week, listeners.
Oh, boy.
We can't do those again, though. They're impossible to replicate.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's a sunny day. We've had a wonderful show, and we're jazzed about this podcast, which is exciting because it features a special podcast-only nugget right in the middle.
Yeah, somewhere during this podcast, you will encounter an exclusive bit of chit-chat, a new jingle even,
yeah,
and a whole new segment. So look out for that.
Also, you will find out what we sounded like as precocious youngsters. Later on in the programme, we got recordings of ourselves aged 11 and 7, I think.
Plus a reasonably successful Text the Nation, I think. We certainly were swamped with responses. We didn't have a chance to read them all out. But maybe the new segment will take care of that next week.
Imagine being caught in a response swamp.
Wow.
I mean, that would be...
A response.
A swamp, yeah. That would be a great scene in a film, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like in Flash Gordon when they get... lower them into the swamp. Do you remember that? They get lowered into a swamp.
Of course, it's Peter Duncan. Doesn't he get lowered in? No, Peter Duncan from Blue Peter. Duncan Dares sticking his hand into the log.
Into the log of doom.
And then getting stung.
Not the first time Peter Duncan stuck his hand into a log.
What? Are you implying that Peter Duncan fishes around in feces?
You know what I'm implying.
No, I just, you know, perfectly I genuinely
well.
Don't.
Well, neither do I. But it's a colourful...
Or a cake.
Image. Yeah, what?
Like a Christmas log.
Why would he do that? Because he's so greedy.
Listen,
he wants to find the fivepence piece in the Christmas cake.
Right.
So he just plunges his hand in before anyone's had any.
Yeah, and then gets stung by the beast of the Yule log.
This is turning into a very confusing analogy.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Well, listen, let's get underway with the podcast and we will join you halfway through. Exciting.
This is a podcast from the Big British Castle, featuring portions from the Adam and Joe Show Radio Ram. It is brought to you in super sound stereo. So now my voice is coming to you from the left and now the right.
I've got a new technique for the music on the show, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
And listeners. We get a list of everything on the show when we come in the morning, the playlist.
Yeah.
And what I've done is I've gone through it with ticks and crosses.
Oh, that's a good...
And I think if we hand it back
technique.
To the people that set the records up,
right.
Gradually they'll learn...
What we like and what we don't
what
like.
What we like and don't like.
Taste profile.
Now, the problem is I might alienate some listeners when I tell them...
You could call it the genius playlist.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I might alienate some listeners who like songs that I'm vetoing. But, for instance, we were due to start with the choral.
Right.
But I vetoed that.
Why?
I said, no choral, go straight to Reichsop.
Which choral song was it?
In the Morning.
Oh, that's a smash.
Do you mean that?
I love that song.
Well, I vetoed it. I'll tell you what else I've vetoed.
It's
gone, you see. I've put a question mark by Smile by The Supernaturals, because I don't know it, and a question mark by Winter Sleep by Oblivion.
I don't know it.
Is that wrong?
What does the question mark mean?
Well, I don't know. It just means, you know, be careful.
Do we have to have this? I don't know it.
I put a question mark by your free choice because I don't know it.
Because you're not aware of it.
Yeah. Future Heads with the Hand of Love, I've put across by.
Here's a man who fears and is distasteful of anything new.
Yeah, I don't like anything beyond the late 80s. Right. Is that bad?
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Yes, Text the Nation listeners is the part of the show where we introduce a subject and you text us about it and then we read the best ones out.
Now, this one you thought of, right, Joe?
Yeah, but there's no need to pin responsibility on me so early in the proceedings. I mean, it sounds like you're setting me up for a fall there.
That's what you do to me.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to do it to me. It's what's called a one-way street.
Right.
All right? So
okay.
Obey the traffic signs.
All right. Sorry, officer. You can correct me when I go
wrong. Sometimes I do that to you if it's going badly.
Yeah.
If it's going well, then I like to share the credit.
That's the best technique.
Yeah.
My understanding of your idea for Text the Nation is that this is a kind of street acting or public performances that you do pretty much for your own benefit in order to disguise something else.
Yeah. So, for instance, if you are walking down the street and you see maybe an attractive lady or man walking past.
A lady man.
Or an attractive lady man, and you want to sneak another look at them, you might pretend that you're lost momentarily.
In order to avoid just looking like a lech.
Yeah.
Right.
So you might pretend to be lost and look left and right and up and down with a sort of expression on your face going, where is the road I'm looking for?
So that your glances sweep across the regions you're interested in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A similar thing can be done on the underground. If you want to look at an attractive person, at an attractive person.
A detractive person.
At an attractive at-at sitting opposite you on the tube.
Yeah.
And this is another bit of, what are we calling it? Street acting.
Yes.
I don't know what it would be called. Like private mime or something. Mm. You're reading a newspaper and you just read the article at the very top of the page. Do you ever do that? And then you just adjust your eye line an inch above.
And glance over the top of the paper.
And look at the person, yeah. And then if there's any sense that they're looking back at you, you quickly pop down to the article. Does that work? I'm practicing it now on Adam with a piece of paper.
Uh-huh. Well, the nice thing...
So you can see, can't you?
Yeah. The nice thing about that is that you can get some reading done at the same time.
Yes.
But you don't have to be... I mean, here's a couple of things that I do, right? Sometimes when I'm, funnily enough, going the wrong way down a one-way street on my bike, which I know is wrong and evil and dirty and bad, and it's one of the many reasons that people hate cyclists, what I do to excuse the practice is I pause every now and again and I look around as if I'm just about to dismount and get onto the pavement and go into a doorway in a building.
What are you disguising there? What are you covering up?
I'm covering up the fact that I'm brazenly cycling the wrong way down a one-way street.
Ah.
What I'm displaying to the public is, oh, it's okay, I'm not going down a one-way street. I'm actually just about to get off my bike and go into one of these doorways here. And I'm just checking to see which the right doorway is. So if you tell me that I can't go the wrong way down a one-way street, you'd be wrong because I'm just about to get off my bike. So
that's good.
In your face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And before they know it, I'm at the end of the one-way street.
Wow.
I'm the king. I've gone right the way down that runway street the wrong way because I was looking for a doorway.
I've thought of another one I do.
Yeah.
If I turn up at, say, a cinema or a place where I'm meeting a friend and the friend is late, I don't want to look like a loser. And I think this is something that a lot of people do.
Sure.
So I get my mobile phone out.
Yeah.
And just pretend to be dealing with texts.
Oh, yeah.
And what I'm actually doing is reading really old texts that I've read before.
Yeah.
And I don't need to read them.
I just randomly press buttons sometimes.
Exactly. To make it look as if you're really busy.
It's not even switched on.
Do you ever pretend to be taking a call?
Definitely.
For any reason? Under what circumstance would you pretend to take a mobile phone call?
Back of a taxi is a classic place for doing all kinds of pretending.
Right.
To avoid talking to the taxi driver.
Right.
If he's a chatty man and you think, I just can't face it. Definitely do a little pretend phone call. And here's another thing I do in taxis sometimes. I ostentatiously put in my headphones, and then, because I don't want to be rude and just imply that I'm just going to listen to music to avoid talking to him, I take out my notebook and I pretend to be making notes about the music I'm listening to, because that's my job.
Right.
Right? Because I'm an A&R guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You are an A&R
guy.
Or
I'm a journalist, or I'm a radio DJ.
You're an A&R and an S and an E guy.
So that's Text the Nation this week. Get your ideas
Things
in.
That you pretend to do to cover for other behaviour. We're trying to think of a good term for
public
it.
Public pretending?
Public pretending, street mime, not sure, but fake behaviour that covers other behaviour.
Yo, what's going on? What's the scene? Who the heck are these crazy guys?
Well, one's called Adam and the other's called Joe, and you're listening to their podcast.
Oh!
And now our producer, Ben, when we came in this morning, told us that he had some mystery audio to play us. Neither Adam and I have any idea what this is, and this is unusual behaviour for Ben, isn't it?
It's exciting. Ben is turning into a flamboyant producer who comes up with all kinds of flourishes to improve and enrich our lives. We appreciate it very much. And we've been trying to gauge whether this surprise bit of audio is going to be genuinely surprising or a little bit disappointing and a bit crap.
We don't know anything about what this could be. In the past, we had a very exciting audio clip from Fiona Bruce.
One from Stephen Fry.
What else? Those are the only surprises we've really had. Yeah. We had the teacher on the phone was a surprise for you.
That was a great
once
surprise.
Or twice I've surprised Adam. Mm. But never have we had our producer surprise us both. So we're basically excited, but also because we're quite experienced and world-weary, we are expecting to be disappointed. So what's the best thing this piece of audio could be, Adam?
The very best.
The very best.
Well, personally speaking, David Bowie.
Saying that he listens, a piece of audio with David Bowie saying he listens to the show.
Yeah, I mean, but there's no reason for it. It's got to be reacting from, like, if you were David Bowie and you listen to the show.
This is David Bowie.
I just want to say that I listen to your programme, me and Joey and Iman.
And all the little gnomes.
And the little gnomes in the bottom of the garden.
And we really enjoy it very much. And wizza, 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 wizza.
We'd like to come on and do a song wars with you.
Yeah, yes, that's right. You mentioned a while back that you'd like famous people to mentor your song war songs.
I'd very much like to mentor Joe, because he's my favourite.
I should very much like to mentor Joe.
And wizza, wizza, wizza.
Anyway.
So that's the best it could be.
Yeah.
And if he was mentoring me as well.
That would be amazing.
That'd be amazing.
Who would
you.
I get to be mentored by?
Nobody. Scooch.
Scooch. No.
Hey, this is Jackie from Scooch.
Hello, this is Craig from Scooch. Love the show. We're coming on to mentor you. Get ready for Scooch.
That would be your favourite thing.
Yeah.
I think we better just hear it.
Yeah, we should.
So here is the mystery audio.
Hi, Adam and Joe. This is the Icelandic Ice Maiden. Just wondering what's going on, really. I've been waiting quite some time for my song wars. Nothing seems to be happening. You've been keeping me hanging on for weeks and weeks, but then nothing happens. So I'm going to leave it up to you guys to make
goodness.
The final decision. You've got my phone number, you've got my email address, so maybe I'll hear from you, maybe I won't.
Oh, my goodness. So just to fill people in, right, this is a lady that first got in touch with the show a few weeks ago. And she claimed to be a glamorous model, which we laughed off. We went on her website. She is a glamorous model.
Yes, she's very glamorous.
She's incredibly beautiful, and she's an Icelandic lady. I actually went home and boasted about the fact to my wife, which caused a little bit of domestic problems. And so I was sort of, in a way, part of me was hoping the problem might have just gone away, you know, and it's one of those things that goes out of your life. So hearing Sif on the phone there,
she has a good tone. Did you tell listeners that we had promised maybe to do an Icelandic, a Nordic, a Björk,
right?
Fleet Foxes style? I know they're not Icelandic, but a kind of...
Who's that band that we were playing the other day?
A kind of echoey, folky song wars.
Yeah, they're not called Tongue, but there's another band with a T.
Tongue are a bit like that.
Yeah.
We had sort of talked about doing that, dedicated to her.
Yes.
An Icelandic... In fact, was it even her suggestion that we do that?
I think it was, yeah.
And that's why she's built up a sense of expectation. And what a great distillation of a disappointed lady's tone there.
I know.
Do you know, she really captured something there that sends a chill down a man's spine.
And then further down the spine.
Yeah, to the groinal area.
Plus the Icelandic accent is adorable.
It's very adorable. But she does sound disappointed, and that there's a sort of note of resignation in there, as if she never expected that we'd do it in the first place. And that we've damned hopes that were...
She's thrown down the sexy gauntlet.
She's thrown down a sexy lacy gauntlet.
What are you going to do? You're going to pick up the lacy gauntlet?
We'd better do it then, hadn't we?
If I start picking up lacy gauntlets...
Your wife will be
I'm going to get beaten to death.
Yeah, but you're just writing her a song.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's no actual...
And if your wife listens to that, there's no way she can say that you shouldn't respond to that.
That's true, isn't it? What are you going to do? You're just going to...
We've got to write the song.
Slap a sexy woman in the face
when
she
get her in the
throws
studio.
Down her gauntlet? Yeah, we do.
We do have to get her in the studio and do some really sort of uncomfortable radio.
Yeah, and then we'll both get fired. There'll be a big sleaze scandal.
Right.
You know, because people don't like it when men of a certain age get sleazy and lecherous with beautiful women.
Mm.
It doesn't do well for anyone, right?
It does well for men of a certain age.
It's nice when it's happening.
I like to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation. But now my worries have disappeared. Retro Text the Nation's here. And now my mail might be read out instead of thrown in the trash and forgotten about.
Wow. That was an amazing new jingle that Joe created, especially for this podcast-only segment.
Yeah, this segment's called Retro Text the Nation, and it's a chance for people who only listen to the programme via Listen Again in the podcast to get involved, because sometimes you listen to the subject of Text the Nation, have an interesting story you want to contribute, and think, well, why should I? It's pointless. By next week, they'll have moved on to a new subject, and I'm wasting my time. No longer.
No. Now, we will take account of all your communications throughout the week and possibly include them in this special new segment.
So this week, we're starting with three emails that we thought were really good on the subject of last week's Text the Nation, which was things you purposely do to annoy your cohabitee.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Do you remember that subject?
We got a lot of very good responses on that anyway.
Here's a good one from Craig in Dusseldorf. He says, I, like many others, have a big build-up to my sneeze. And when that moment arrives, I like to annoy my girlfriend and previous girlfriends by pretending that I'm going to sneeze in her face.
Mm-hmm.
Then at the last second, I turn away or cover my mouth. This also works on another level, as when she gets too complacent, secure in the fact you have cried sneeze too many times for the charade to work, you actually let one go and hope that she really loves you.
Not right in her face, though, you wouldn't do it, would you?
Yes, that's what he's talking about.
That's horrible.
That's what Craig's talking about. He's talking about going, right point blank, you're doing this in someone's face. So they're going, oh no, don't sneeze in my face. And then most of the time, he just turns away at the last moment.
That would drive me insane.
But then if she's expecting it, if she gets complacent, keeps facing him, but then he lets the full germatic, disease-ridden, snotty explosion directly in her face.
He's from Dusseldorf. He is full
that
of Germans.
Sort of thing does not matter. Another interesting part of Craig's email is, so one day I was building up to a sneeze. I turned to face my girlfriend for another round of sneeze-related fun. To my surprise, she calmly turned to me, looked me in the eyes, and then blew up my nose.
Hmm.
Amazingly, this stopped the sneeze dead in its track, and I was left feeling anticlimactic and a bit embarrassed. She found it hilarious. Now the tables have turned. I can't enjoy a good sneeze without her interrupting it with her Barbara Woodhouse-style antics every time. Barbara Woodhouse used to blow up the noses of animals to placate them.
That's right.
Famously. So this guy Craig is saying that if someone's sneezing and you blow up their nose, it will negate the sneeze.
Huh.
Here's another email from Chris in Bolton. One thing I like to do to annoy my girlfriend is repeat the last word of every sentence that's being shouted at me, normally in some kind of strange voice. I can give you a practical example if you like. The following is a transcript of an argument myself and my girlfriend had last weekend.
Oh, right.
Girlfriend, why do you never put a new toilet roll on the holder? Me, holder. Girlfriend, what are you doing? Me, doing. Girlfriend, exasperated noise, leaves room.
And relationship.
Then I proceed to put a new toilet roll on the holder so that she couldn't come back and vent again.
That's very juvenile.
Nice. I think the other one we had was just somebody repeating everything the girlfriend said in a high-pitched sarcastic voice.
Which is also a good way to
Which is a career suicide path. Surely that's just
annoying. She's not going to be around for long if you do that.
Our final email in Retro Text the Nation comes from a music producer called The Bird. Hi, I'm a music producer and my flatmate is a professional singer and songwriter. She has the most perfect and beautiful voice, which makes this even more hilarious. My favourite way to make her angry was to wait until she was singing a beautifully perfect sustained note and then stuff my socks in her mouth and disappear like a phantom back to my room.
That takes a while, though, doesn't it? Stuffing your socks in someone's mouth. It's not something you can really do by stealth.
Man, she's lucky it's only the socks. Don't you think?
What are you thinking? And now let's continue with the highlights from this week's live show.
Hi there. This is the music artist Beck, Beck Hansen, and you're listening to the Adam and Joe podcast. I just did a new Beck song about Adam and Joe, so here it is.
2, 3, 4. Adam and Joe with a razor blade overcoat, sitting on a fruit machine, eating dirty pickles with a tongs.
Did you like it? I hope so. Thank you. This is Beck. Now back to the Adam and Joe podcast. Bye.
As if we were still lovers.
Good little spoken word passage
what
there.
What kind of
Phil.
Wounds do you not want to heal then, apart from ones that make you feel really good?
Those are the only ones.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah. Which aren't really wounds, are they, if they've made you feel good?
Not as such.
They're pleasure wounds.
Yeah, it's not like the film Crash.
No. No, not that sort of pleasure wound. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. That was Human League with Louise.
Sounded good, man. It was so stripped down.
Yeah.
And actually, that galvanised us into thinking that maybe we should go for the 80s for Song Wars.
But we also noticed there that obviously that had a spoken word passage, and we were thinking that was quite popular in the 80s. We could think of two other 80s songs that have spoken word passages. The Look of Love by ABC.
What does he say there?
He goes, Martin, some people say, Martin, one day you might find true love. Oh, I say maybe, but I still can't find the answer to the one thing. The one thing. Yeah. And that you can't find or something.
He does that, yeah, that. Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah,
that, isn't it?
He does a great sort of musical sight. And then Fantastic Day by Haircut 100.
Yes.
Also had a bit where he goes, I tried to shave myself again. Be a happier guy. Something like that.
Does he say shave myself or save myself?
Well, I always used to hear it as shave.
Be a happier guy. Yeah, that's right. So if we did an 80s song, we'd definitely have to have a spoken word.
Yeah, spoken word passage in it.
Yeah.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
It doesn't matter.
Text.
So the subject of Text the Nation, listeners, this week is street acting, or what are we going to call it?
Public pretending.
Public pretending. Things that you do in public, sort of miming that you do to mask some forbidden behaviour or embarrassing behaviour.
It doesn't necessarily have to be mimed. It's just a little bit of theatre to cover something up.
You'll
for example,
get the idea when we read some out.
I've got one more example from my own locker here. Sometimes when I'm in a shop, right, and I've gone down and done a bit of browsing, but the browsing has taken a bit too long for me to make a speedy exit, especially if I'm the only person in the shop. The shop assistant is there, right? I'm embarrassed that I don't intend to buy anything. So I want to just get out of the shop, but I can't face it. So I say to the shop assistant, what time are you closing tonight?
You don't.
Yeah.
Really?
To imply that I might be coming back.
Coming back.
Yeah. I haven't got my wallet. Or sometimes I pat my trousers or look in my wallet and go, oh, as if I'm going to go out to the cash machine and then come back.
Ah, I think I might have done that one.
What time do you close? I'm coming back.
That's in a small shop where you're the only customer.
Exactly.
And the shopkeeper looks pretty excited.
Right, exactly.
And where
right.
you've had to say hello on the way in.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it can be weird to go into a shop with just you and the shopkeeper and not say something to them.
Right.
It's like walking into someone's front room and looking at some of their belongings and then just walking out again.
I know, it's rude not to, really.
And then it's even ruder not to buy something, or you can sense the disappointment.
Especially if the shop is full of quite weird or quirky items.
Quirky items.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you go in there and you sort of think, oh, look, they've got quirky items in
there. It's run by Pauline Quirk.
Right, exactly. Pauline Quirk's working there. She's filled it with loads of her little quirk. The shop is called Quirk Box, and she's filled it with loads of little knickknacks and things she's found. And you get seduced into going into Quirk Box. But then you have no intention of buying anything. Not only do you have to grin right the way through your browsing, right? And sort of go...
You don't have to.
I know, but you have to. Otherwise, Quirk might start weeping because she knows that you hate the shop.
Well, you grin because the products are making you look
exactly.
feel so happy.
Yeah, I'm sort of thinking, love your shop.
That's just inane.
What I'm implying is, Pauline, I love Quirk Box.
She'd be desperate for you to get out of the shop. She'd have her finger hovering over the alert, the police alert button.
Listen, these things are almost entirely for your own peace of mind.
Now you've filled up the whole allocated link time with your story.
Well, let's have a couple of suggestions.
Here are some that have come in from listeners for public pretending. This is from Simone in Stoke. If I trip while walking down the street, I'll immediately start to run to disguise the trip as a kind of start to my run. I still do it, even though I've witnessed others doing it with very unconvincing results.
Yeah.
So masking a trip as a kind of... In fact, I went to dinner with the brilliant and lovely magician Darren Brown once.
Yeah.
And we were coming out of the restaurant and he tripped and he fell over quite badly. He was going to literally fall on his face. And his recovery was so flamboyant. You know, he had to really swing his arms to keep himself from falling over.
Yeah.
And he turned it into a big sort of ballet move.
Right.
But there was so much momentum and kinetics that the ballet move was really huge and flamboyant. So it was a very eccentric bit of sudden physical movement. He made it huge and ridiculous and therefore brilliantly recovered.
That's one way of going. A friend of mine told me a story about when he was out cycling and he was going round a roundabout. He wasn't paying enough attention and he wiped out spectacularly in front of a lot of traffic, right? The traffic all came to a halt. People were sort of gasping a little bit because it looked as if he might have really done his leg.
He was centre stage, everyone staring at him.
Yeah, yeah. And he'd really bashed his leg quite badly. So he got up and his leg immediately buckled because it was so painful. Mm. So it was double humiliation for the guy. He was still there because in that situation, all you want to do is be somewhere else.
Yeah.
So instead, he stood up and he bowed. He turned around and bowed to everyone who was watching. And then he sort of put his hands in the air like, yay, I'm the champion.
That's the perfect response.
Right. And then he got on his bike and hobbled off because his leg was absolutely
And then went somewhere in private and screamed.
And started screaming and weeping.
Here's another one from a listener. This is from JP in, I don't know how to say that place. How do you say that place?
Aynsham.
He says, and this is a good one, I think everybody does this, if I'm on a squeaky chair and it makes a fart noise, I have to wiggle and shuffle to replicate the noise to prove that it was the chair and not me. Yes. Everybody does that, surely.
Absolutely.
And then sometimes you do it if you do a fart.
That's the thing.
And then you desperately look, well, what am I sitting on?
Airborne.
Maybe I can make it make a similar noise. Creak, creak.
Airborne toxic events are the cause of a great deal of public pretending because you're trying. Obviously, that's a massive thing that you want to cover up a lot of the time,
yeah.
Right? What happens to me sometimes, and this happened the other day, I was outdoors. I was coming out of Sainsbury's and there was a covered walkway there and it was quite a blustery day. So I thought this is an ideal opportunity for an airborne toxic event and there's no one around. So I unleashed the event. But at that moment, a couple came out from a store, right, and ploughed directly through the airborne toxic event, right, to the extent that I was certain that they would have had to say something because it was quite a severe attack of the toxic event.
Of the Windies.
Yes, yes. So, again, mainly for my own benefit, I just started talking and humming to myself to cover up whatever comments they might have made. I thought that would be a better thing to do than to actually... Because yeah. I was terrified that I might hear them going, did you smell that airborne toxic event from that revolting man?
If you ever wonder when you actually started going insane, that was the moment. That was the moment when you stepped over the line.
No, I'm not hearing your comments about my fart.
That doesn't even fit the Text the Nation remit. That's just mad.
There you go. That's Winter Sleep. Winter Sleep.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for Winter Sleep.
I'm 17 years old.
There you
old.
Go. There's Winter Sleep.
They're from Nova Scotia.
Thank you.
you Here's your Winter Sleep.
It says on the notes here, you may be familiar with their side project, Holy F.
Nope.
So that's a no, Ben. But they played it a lot on Six Music last year.
There's
apparently
a picture of them. Our producer, Ben, started to put full-colour pictures of the bands on our sheet.
Aspect ratio's off, though, Ben.
Yeah, they're a bit compressed. That looks like a 4x3 that's been squashed to 16x9, Ben.
A couple of them are a little on the chubby side anyway, I think, and it's not doing them any favours to have the photo squashed.
They're certainly not dressing up, are they? Not like Empire of the Sun. There's lots of sweaters and shirts hanging out and scruffy jeans.
Yeah, what kind of impression are they thinking they're going to make like that? You know what I mean? He hasn't even polished his trainers.
It's as if they've been asleep all winter.
Now, we had a couple of bits of feedback, I suppose you would call it, about the show that kind of crossed over into the public sphere during the week.
We did. There was an article in the Media Guardian that mentioned the show that we won't go into because it's controversial.
Is it? Why? Because they may not... They
it's
may
just
have...
best not to talk about that sort of thing.
We're not sure where they got their figures from.
You're talking about it.
Okay.
Don't.
Well, it was about the ratings, right?
Well, now you're talking about it more.
But I'm trying to explain. It's a radio show. Well, people are going to be going, what's the point of bringing up a subject and then obfuscating it?
Because it's tantalising.
It?
People can look for themselves.
You think they like to be tantalised?
Yeah. They like to have a little bit of, research to do themselves.
People loathe being tantalised.
Do they?
Yeah, they want it all on a plate.
Do they?
they want to eat it.
Well, you're the man for that job.
What do you mean by
plate
that?
Plate presentation. I told you not to put it on the plate, and immediately out came the plate with it on it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm making them happy.
Anyway, there was that. And the other thing was on Radio 4's Roger Bolton presented show Feedback, where listeners have a chance to tell Radio 4 what they like and dislike, right?
About BBC programmes.
Yeah, there was a segment on this programme, and a very lovely lady had written into Feedback and told them how much she liked this show, so they ended up playing a clip of it on Feedback, right?
That's right. Her name was Catherine Eyre. I don't have a clip of her actually speaking. She's from Darlington, but to quote her, she said,
This show has just the right blend of lightheartedness without stupidity or rudeness that other presenters resort to. Obviously, she hasn't been listening for that long.
But what a lovely thing to do, and then to send it into feedback.
I was absolutely bowled over. She sounded really nice, and I've done you a little song, Catherine, if you're listening, in celebration. I say little. I mean, it's barely a song. It's more of a jingle for you, but here it is.
Here's a little song I wrote for Catherine of Ayr.
Catherine of Ayr's the kind of lady I'd be proud to know, because she went on air on Radio 4's feedback to say she likes this show. I bet she's very well respected by her friends and all her family, because she is so clever and she's got such lovely hair.
Yeah, how do you reckon she'll be feeling?
After that,
yeah.
Really disappointed and angry.
Text the Nation. Text, 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 text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
This week, the subject is all about public pretending. Miming you do to cover up for some kind of behaviour which you're embarrassed about in public, right?
Yeah.
We've had some very good texts that have come in. This is one from Steve in Roehampton. He says, sometimes I pretend to be chewing gum when walking past a pretty girl on the street because I think it makes me look cooler.
That's insane.
It's tragic, says Steve.
Why would you think that? You know what? I've turned into my dad about chewing gum. I think it looks dreadful.
Really?
I really do. When I see people chewing gum, and when I see myself chewing gum sometimes, if I've been interviewed or whatever, I think that's a shame. I shouldn't have done that. Who was it? Adele? Does she sing Chasing Pavements?
I think so.
She was at the Brits, and she was interviewed by Mel and Sue backstage or whatever it was. Mm. Mel and who was it? Mel Blatt and Nicole Appleton. Anyway, she was chewing gum like for England, Adele, and it looked awful. If I was her mum, I would say, listen, you might be a soul singing genius with lots of awards, but take that gum out of your mouth at this instant.
Here's one from Paul in Hitchin. He says, good morning, Adam and Joe. Sometimes when I've locked my van at work, I walk away from my van and suddenly think, did I lock my van? So I walk back to my van, unlock the van, and have a jolly good look inside to cover up my obsession with thinking, did I lock my van?
Yeah.
Then I lock it and walk away. Did I use the word van enough? Paul in Hitchin.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a pretty good one.
Make it look deliberate. Like if you're doing sort of insane behavior, make it look like part of the plan.
Do you think you'd be able to tell if you saw Paul doing that? Do you think if you'd think, oh, he's not looking for anything in that van. He's just trying to cover up the fact that he forgot whether he locked it.
I would never be able to tell. Do you spot behavior?
Well, I will now that we've done this feature.
Right.
I'll be able to spot a lot of this miming now.
I mean, that's what mainly people are doing 90% of the time when they're in public anyway, is pretending in some way or another, I would think.
You think?
Yeah.
Charades.
But you never think of it. I mean, you wouldn't think to spot other people's pretending, would you?
No. Well, no one's safe anymore. Here's one from John in Cheshire. He says, sometimes when I walk past scary-looking youths, etc., in the street at night, I'll avoid eye contact by pretending that I'm trying in vain to sort out the complex zips, Velcro and buttons on my jacket. Hmm. It might make me look like an idiot, but it always seems to make me invisible to scary people.
Yeah.
That's just a good rule for living in the big city, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Don't make eye contact. Pretend you're just involved in something, you know, personal.
Yeah. Sometimes a bit of opposite psychology
is good.
Otherwise,
someone will step to you. They'll assume that you're fronting on them, and they'll step to you.
And their gats will come out.
Absolutely, they'll black you with their gat. Nobody wants that.
No one wants that. Sometimes if I'm passing scary utes, what I'll do is I will look as ridiculous and chirpy as I can.
Right.
Because I think, why would they want to pick a fight with a stupid, chirpy man?
Yeah.
Hello!
Hey!
Hey! Hi! All right, lads. That kind of thing.
Bang. Dead. Here's one from Sarah Doherty. Doherty. She says, I've pretended to stretch so I can check if the smell of BO is me.
That
makes sense. I'll do an exaggerated yawn, turn my head and sniff. I've also done a look over there, big point, and then check for BO. That's less subtle. But the stretching is a good one.
That's a very good one.
Ben in Norwich, and here's a pretty standard one, not in a bad way, in a good way. I elaborately pretend to take a phone call at a bus stop to avoid talking to a chatty tramp.
Mm.
My acting was terrible, says Ben. Hello? Hey! Yeah! No, busy. Right! How's that, for instance?
That's very good.
See, that's quite good.
The laugh as well, yeah.
What you mustn't do is fall into the movie trap where you're going, hey, oh, hello, Susan.
Right.
How are you? How was the charity shop? You know, you're saying everything back to her,
uh-huh.
which they say in movies for expositional purposes,
yes.
but you never do that in real life. At 12:30 at the bingo hall, see you there, that kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Hello? Yes, I'm Adam Buxton. Yes, the printer is bit repaired now. I'm no good. Thank you very much for your help. Now. Thank you for your call. Oh.
Was that the printer?
I'm hanging up.
Phoning you back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, you see. That's detail.
That's what they
makes
did.
Makes it seem more realistic.
They phoned me back during the week, you know.
Right, it wasn't real, though.
No, it was.
Was it?
No, it was. It was actually real.
Was it?
They phoned me back and they said, could you remember I said I'd been on their helpline?
Tell us about it.
Well, you asked.
Well,
I said I'd be. I'm picking up a story
on,
from
do
last
it, do
week.
It, do it.
I know it's right in the middle of Textination, but.
Here's one from Daisy.
You're just ignoring me now. Carry on then.
She says, I'm superstitious, so when I see a lone magpie, I always salute it.
Yeah, my wife does that.
Really?
Yeah, good morning,
never
Mr. Magpie.
Never heard of that before. But I don't want to look like a nutter, so when other people are around, I disguise it as scratching my forehead.
Yes, quite right.
And here's one from Tim. If I realise I'm walking the wrong way and I need to do a 180-degree turn, I stop at the side of the street and pretend I've got a text. I then leave the other way. I've got to say, I've done that in the past. Oh, Tommy's texted and we're not meeting at that corner. We're meeting at the other corner. Right.
And what's the logic, do you think? You think that if people saw you just...
Yeah, they'll go, he's
he doesn't know where he's going. Oi, Darren, look at that bloke. He's got no clue where he's going.
It reveals a profound sense of public paranoia.
And then Darren says, no, wait.
Self-consciousness.
No, Steve, wait. He's got a call. He's texting. Oh, right. So I didn't realise, mate. Didn't realise you were texting. I thought you didn't realise where you were going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jelly dots.
I'm going to play you now, listeners, something a bit ill-advised. These are some recordings I came across of myself pretending to be a DJ when I was about 11.
Right, as opposed to pretending to be a DJ when you're almost 40.
Exactly.
Which is what we're doing now.
Yeah, well, that's the point of these, to show that apart from the playlist being improved, nothing's really changed. And
yeah.
I don't know what this... I mean, this is going to do various things. It's going to make me acutely embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know why I'm playing these because it's really profoundly painful. And I wonder whether this is the same for everybody, whether anything recorded of them before their voice broke is just per se a really painfully embarrassing.
I think the rule is before your voice is broken, it's all fine. After
it's like,
your
it's
voice
like laughing
breaks.
At a baby.
Exactly, because you're guileless then. You
yeah.
know? At least you should be.
The other thing is I sound amazingly posh.
Right.
I sound like Penelope Keith.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds as if I drove to school in a Rolls-Royce pedal car wearing a top hat, scattering £5 notes to the impoverished residents of Brixton went to my posh Dulwich school.
That's true, though,
school.
Isn't it?
Not really.
I mean, we're both well-spoken.
Yeah, but
we used to be very well-spoken.
We're not that posh.
Yeah.
It's just back then you aspired to be posh. Everyone on Blue Peter spoke posh.
That's right.
The news people spoke posh. But that was before... There was a cultural shift where children's programmes, and Charlie Brooker talks about this, doesn't he? Or is it David Mitchell? Somebody had a good rant about this. In the past, children's television presenters used to talk like adults.
That's right.
Or like teachers. And now they're like the kids' mates,
actually,
desperate to please the kids.
Well, let me put this in context. Before you play your clip, I tried to find a clip of myself, right? And I knew I had one somewhere. But it turned out that, unfortunately, a lot of it was erased. I've got a little bit that I'll play you later on. But one of the other things that I found on this tape, which clearly belonged to my dad, I'd obviously borrowed one of his cassettes and used his tape recorder, was this bit of, I think he'd got an assistant to go out and record travel notes, because my dad was a travel writer, right? Mm. So he would get a reporter kind of assistant person to go out and record notes about a various place, and he would use them in his article that he was writing. Of various places.
Yeah.
But check out the accent on this lady, right? I mean, this is an accent that you don't really hear anymore in modern times, and I guess this would have been from the late 70s, but it's quite sexy as well. Check out what she sounds like. Here we go.
Not pleasant. Astoration fairly crowded. La plage passable. Very small beach. The entrance fee is 1.20. The cabins for one person 5, for 2 people 6, for 3 people 8.
Is she an English
mattress,
lady?
Yeah.
£2. Parasol, £2. peddlers. 3 francs for half an hour. Water skiing here. 20 francs for a quarter of an hour. 60 francs for an hour.
For that, she sounds quite turned on.
60 francs for...
But that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, when was that recorded then?
Yeah, late 70s.
Late 70s. Mm-hmm. So it's later than you think, but everybody in the public eye did aspire to speaking amazingly poshly.
Because you think that
she sounds almost Germanic. She sounds almost foreign.
Yeah. I mean, her accent, her French accent is very good on that tip, so maybe she is a Euro lady, I don't know. But you would think that that kind of accent was from the 40s, like Brief Encounter or something almost. But people, even in the 70s, even with the punk wars going on, that's how the middle classes spoke a lot of
the time. When did the change happen? It happened in the mid-80s, do you think?
Yeah, when people started getting estuary vowels on the BBC and stuff like that, and quite rightly, all kinds of different accents
when
were represented.
Damon Auburn did it.
You reckon? Yeah.
When he denied his poshness and started to talk like he was
right
from some housing estate somewhere.
Yeah, and in, you know, Terry Christian and regional accents and all that kind of thing, when that started being more...
But that's a good thing, isn't it?
Of course,
For regional accents to be reflected accurately on the BBC is a good thing. But for children's presenters to actually kind of downgrade themselves, dumb their accents down,
yeah,
is maybe not such a good thing. Or maybe it is when you listen to me pretending to be a DJ,
okay,
aged 11. Check out my playlist and also remember that I'm in character. I'm pretending to be a DJ called John Scott. John Scott!
Where'd you get the name John Scott?
I don't know. He just sounded like a business-like, charismatic DJ, John Scott. So here's the first little bit. Oh, God.
This is John Scott for you here. And I'll be with you for the next hour, playing the best from the charts and the best of your choice. Start off by getting things on the road with this track, The B-Side to Nobody's Fool by Hecker 100. It's called October is Orange.
Good choice.
Very moody.
That's brilliant, man.
Yeah.
So how old are you? Like 13 or 12?
No. 11 or 12.
Oh, really?
I don't actually want to. It's not that I couldn't work it out, but I don't want to work it out because I'm frightened that I'll be old, that I'll be older than I think
John
I am.
John Scott's amazing.
John Scott, yes, he's very good.
I like the intonation there on some of
he's
that
He's very
stuff.
Mellow and he's got a really cool... He plays B-sides, man.
Yeah.
Hecker 100 B-sides.
October is Orange.
Yeah. Do you want a bit more?
Please.
Here's a bit more.
It's from Burning Mannequin, okay. Now I'll quickly just spin you. Tears for Fears latest single. This is called Mad World, and it's very original style, and I knew they had to make it someday, Tears for Fears. And I'm very glad that they have at last. Tears for Fears, Mad World.
Mad World.
Wow. Elongating the last syllable.
I love the fact that John Scott's been a champion of Tears for Fears for so long, and he's really pleased that they're finally making...
Yeah, they've broken through.
Because they've got such an original sound.
Man, the spiel about Tears for Fears was actually longer. I cut it down because it was so painful. I talk about how depressed I've been lately.
Yeah, I wanted to hear that.
And how Tears for Fears express how depressed I've been and how there should be more depressing music in the charts. But I had to snip that out.
Mad World. So that must have been about 81?
Yeah.
So you'd have been 11.
Yeah, that's right, all right, isn't it?
Yeah, that's okay. All right.
There's one more clip, I think, which sort of recaps the records I've played. Here we go.
The records we've played so far have been October's Orange, Hecker 100, The Bees Walking on the Moon, Mike Oldfield, Wonderful Land, Kid Creole and the Coconuts, Annie, I'm Not Your Daddy, Spanner Bally Lifeline, and this one was Shalimar with Night, just writing this down myself, to remember.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing has changed.
We're playing the same music.
I'm playing the same music. 80s music.
But still writing things down.
The last 30 years have been utterly inconsequential. But look, listeners, the reason I'm playing that is, I don't know why, just to mess my head up.
That was good, man. That was brilliant.
And also to encourage anybody who can find similarly excruciating clips of themselves. If you're a bloke, then Before Your Voice Broke is quite key because there's something really painful about that.
Yeah.
Or if you're a lady girl, just something really miserably embarrassing. From when you were young, particularly our generation who had those little cassette recorders. And like we were talking about last week, that the discovery you made that instead of having to buy a blank cassette, you could actually put bits of sellotape over the tabs
yeah.
of a pre-recorded tape that you had and then go crazy recording things. So if you have the facilities to convert any of that to MP3s and send it to us, we'd love to play some embarrassing stuff.
I can see what you are up to. While you are listening to this podcast.
Now, Adam was not going to play us the clip of him on the radio as a child, but I just demanded that Ben played it in the studio while that record was on, and we've got to play it to the listeners.
Well, what happened was I was very disappointed. I went back and I found this tape, and it was marked very old tape from when we used to live in Wales, I think. And I must have been about 7, maybe 8, I don't know. And what I used to do was pre-VCRs, I would just use my dad's dictaphone to tape the audio of my favourite programmes, right? Did you ever do that?
Yeah, I had the whole climax of Moonraker on audio.
And because it was, you wanted to preserve the experience so much, I don't think I ever listened back to them. Maybe I did, actually. I think I listened back to the Muppets shows.
I don't think it needs too much introduction. Oh, right. So it's got the beginning of a Muppet show, and then it goes into Adam Buxton as a DJ, and then it cuts out prematurely, but you're going to bridge the gap.
Exactly. So what I do is I start telling a joke, but then as I'm setting it up, it cuts out.
Yeah, let's just hear it.
And no one ever knows I'm afraid. Look.
Julie Andrews joins the Muppets on Christmas Day at 6:15.
Have a good time.
Oh, well, never mind. See you tomorrow with another breakfast show at the same time tomorrow. Bye. Oh, just a minute. We've got a joke here. Good.
It's a good one.
It says here, there were two Irishmen.
Oh, dear.
There were two Irishmen on a... There was three men. Two Englishmen and...
Oh, dear.
Two Englishmen and an Irishman.
It's like a young Jerry Seinfeld.
And the Irishman said, I bet I could slide my watch down the banisters. Go home, have lunch, have tea, have supper, come back and catch it again. Two Englishmen said, bet you can't. We'll go first. Put the watches downstairs. Went down, smashed them into little pieces. Yes, well... The Irishman put his watch on the banisters, went home, had lunch, had tea, had supper, came back.
So basically, right, the Irishman has challenged the Englishman and said, I bet you I can slide my watch down this banister, go home and have all these meals and then come back and grab it before it smashes, right? And so the Englishmen do it, but their watches smash into a million pieces. But the Irishman does it and he manages it. So they're saying, how did you do that? And I think I come back and I do a little characterization for the Englishman, how they might talk. And I add some extra touches like, you know, those watches cost a lot of money, you know. I added that myself, right? That wasn't part of the original joke. And then I come back and I do like a slight accent for the Irishman explaining how he did it. Let's hear that bit then, Ben.
And he resumes his duties.
Two Englishmen top of the stairs said, how'd you do that? Those watches cost a lot of money, you know. And the Irishman said, well, my watch is 3 hours slow. Ha ha. See you tomorrow. Bye!
Text the nation. Text, 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 text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text!
Jenny says, sometimes when I get off the bus in the morning, I pretend I need to get off first and just run down the street as if I'm in a rush to get to work. The truth is, it doesn't really matter what time I get to work. I think I just like the excitement of running.
She's busy. She's got somewhere
pretending
to be.
I'm busy.
Oh, look.
Yes. John in Wrexham says, sometimes when I fall into a daze at work and I spot that someone has noticed my lack of activity, I'll pick up and shake my computer mouse or fiddle with the wires behind the computer in an attempt to blame it on some sort of IT problem. I sometimes even say something like, oh, at last, or that's got it, before hurriedly getting back to looking busy, says John in Wrexham.
Nice one, John.
At last.
That's half.
Last I can do some work.
That's basically half of what you do in an office anyway, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's basically crippling Britain's productivity.
Is trying to look busy and staring at the screen. Something I do every now and again when I'm in that situation is I will, again, use my notebook. A notebook is a very useful thing to have around you at all times, like for when you've got real ideas or when you just want to pretend, you know. I'll look at the screen and then I'll look down and pretend to be making notes. I'm making notes from the things I'm looking at on the screen, you know.
Yes, good prop. Robert in Bermondsey says, sometimes while listening to the Adam and Joe podcast while in public, I'll emit a loud involuntary bark of laughter, which tends to attract attention. When this happens, I'll often clutch the cable of my iPod next to my phone, creating a makeshift hands-free kit, then improvise an amusing phone conversation to mask the fact that I'm laughing in the loneliest way possible. That's quite elaborate, isn't it?
But there, I mean, I would say that's a particularly weird one, because who would begrudge another person a bit of laughter?
Well, some people don't understand podcasts.
Right, right.
Well, they don't understand the nature of that kind of thing.
Have you ever been tempted to ask someone what they were listening to when they laugh out loud?
No.
I really have.
Have you?
Yeah. I almost have just said, excuse me, sorry to interrupt, but what are you laughing at? Is that insane?
Here's one from Tim. No, it's perfectly logical. Right. It's good. Tim says, if I need to spin 180 degrees in the street, I used to put my finger up in the air like I'd forgotten something. Now I just purposefully turn around as if my last step is the exact destination I want to get to, then walk back and revel in the thought that anyone around me has just witnessed that slightly odd and amusing sight of someone completely changing direction. I like the finger in the air, though. Uh-huh. That's quite sort of 40s, isn't it? Ah! And turning round. That's the opposite. That's not hiding something. It's going over the top with it in order to sort of...
make it deliberate. It.
Yeah, make it super conspicuous.
Exactly.
Ian in Nottingham says, sometimes when I'm at work, I like to grab a clipboard and just walk around the stockroom, picking up various products, pretending to observe them, then making pretend notes.
Yeah, pretend notes is where it's at for me as well.
Yeah, that's a kind of time-wasting technique, I suppose. Here's one from Jason Ward. Seeing someone famous and pretending you don't know who they are as you don't want to appear rude. This happened to me the other week when I literally bumped into Joe at Sainsbury's in Vauxhall and had to pretend I didn't know exactly who he was.
Do you remember that guy?
No, I don't. He did a very good job of pretending.
And that's the end of this week's podcast. Now here's a goodbye link.
Thank you. You've been wonderful. Throw me your dirty pants. I'll wash them and get them back to you. Thank you.
There we go, listeners. That's this week's podcast. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's all about extra value, right? We are trying to cram as much extra value into this podcast as we possibly can. Not that you pay for it or anything, but, you know, we want you to be happy. So we hoped you enjoyed that extra segment in there.
Yeah, plus we hope people who listen only to the podcast or listen again feel extra engaged. And right. As if they have, you know, something to give, and we will receive what they give.
Saucy. So if you do communicate with us during the week, don't feel that automatically your messages will just vanish into the pratosphere, because they might turn up in the extra podcast segment, right? So listen, folks, have a good week. Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast,
then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now.
bbc.co.uk/6music.
Why do they do it? Why do they do it?
I don't know.
Was there an award that was originally...
a gong?
A gong, or were people introduced onto stage with someone ringing a gong?
The gong show? I don't know.
Gongs.
A gong.
He's won many gongs. I'm depressed now.